The reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to read, chapter 13, and I'm going to read a little further than what's in the scriptures. I'm going to read all the way to 37, or what's printed in the bulletin. So it's 13, 24 through 37. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with a great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. And from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will not pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I thought I was ready for Advent this Wednesday. And we ordered those Advent calendars like 2 months ago, and they arrived a month ago. The Advent wreath was out. The banner was ready to put up. And then I realized I had never ordered the children's youth Advent calendars. We went with a different Advent calendar this year, and I used to always do them with the old one. And so on Wednesday of Thanksgiving week, I'm trying to get Advent calendars in San Francisco just on Polk Street. I have one store I can try, the half off. They usually have Advent calendars. He said, this year we had six, they're all gone. I said, great. I knew I could go to Cost Plus World Market, but they would be Advent calendars with chocolate, not really what I wanted to send out. So I thought, oh, I'll go to a Christian bookstore. You know, there aren't any in town. So I got desperate and creative, and I thought, oh, Old St. Mary's, the Catholic church up the way, has a gift store, and surely they have Advent calendars. So I call them. I say, do you have Advent calendars? And they say, yes. And I say, yay. And they're going, okay. And so I take the bus up there, and I say, where are the Advent calendars? And I look at them, and there are a number of choices. And most of them have something to do with Jesus. There's one I cannot figure out. It was an ark with Mr. and Mrs. Claus, and all the animals were wearing Christmas hats. Really? I don't even know. I did take a picture of it, but I didn't buy it. But there are lots of ones that had to do with the Holy Family. It had the Christmas actual story in it. So I bought every one they had, and four other people had me buying their Advent calendars. I was kind of like the broker. And the guy's like, you know, not everyone buys every Advent calendar. He goes, well, welcome. Are you the one who called me? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, I'm from Old First Presbyterian. He said, oh, we used to march in the gay pride parade with you, Old St. Mary's, Old First. And I said, yeah, we're getting so old, we don't march anymore. And he said, oh, neither do we. And then he said, are you the pastor? And I said, yeah. I said, I needed these for my children, so I took the bus up here. And he's shocked for a bit. He goes, you know, our pastor priests, the Paulists, would never take a bus to buy the Advent calendars. And I thought, well, really, I also got a Chinese lunch down the way. But I really wanted to get these Advent calendars for the children and do that for myself. I needed that ritual of Advent. I needed something to kind of give me hope because I found myself this year a little soul worn down and weary. I needed the start of this new year. Advent, this time when we in our Christian faith prepare and anticipate and get ready for the birth of Christ. I suspect that many of us have either become a little numbed or casual or just overwhelmed, and so we don't get the stunning nature of the birth of this Christ into the world. I mean, we already know the story. One pastor wondered if we're like people who live near a loud bus line for years and no longer hear the Muni as it goes by. And after years, we get used to the noise, the pageantry of Advent, and so we no longer really notice it. Or maybe if we do, it ceases to jolt us awake, we just kind of have a low, dull rumble, here's Advent. And when I found new members that come back to the church, though, they are ready for Advent. They love the candle lighting. They want to do the Advent devotional. They just are excited about it. And not like some of us where it's just worn off and the Advent things become more of decoration than a way to focus us. If we're not careful, we too can miss the reason of the Advent season. That may have been obvious and important in one time in our lives, but we now just don't anticipate the coming of Christ. So I'm glad I have this Advent season. I'm going to go buy an Advent calendar up there today. I want one for myself, and I'm not going to wait till Monday to open mine. I'm going to open mine today. But then I look at the scriptures we get today, and I go, oh, really? I mean, I love this Isaiah passage. It speaks to a people who are filled with yearning, exiles in a foreign land, who are at the end of their rope. They are utterly without hope, and therefore they cry out to God, tear open the heavens and come down now. And the Mark passage, it's no easier. I mean, none of the Advent calendars I looked at had a darkened sun on it. And there isn't a creche scene with a nice little fig tree. Oh, put that out. But here we are. I don't really think these passages are done to make my life so difficult, really. It is not all about me, though I ask, or at least I think it is. I think these passages are put on this first Sunday of Advent to wake us up, to shake us out of our complacency, to get our attention. They are supposed to evoke, to wake a yearning in us for something more, that tomorrow need not be like today, that we can long for God's future, and that God's future is our future. See, these passages to say, wake up, move us out of our complacency, because we are in a season that is not about gifts and indulgences, but of following a baby who didn't stay all cute and quiet, who grew up to be the man whose words and actions interrupted and challenged and convicted and threatened and changed people. Not just 2,000 years ago, but today. The passage from Mark is telling those early followers of Jesus to wake up, to be alert. It's a tense time between the old and the new age yet to be born. This section from Mark is called the Little Apocalypse. Now, apocalypse means a tearing away. It means to reveal, to uncover. It's tearing back the curtain of anxiety and worry and reminding that community of what it should be focused on, trusting in, remembering, and living out. The time when this was written, this Gospel of Mark, Jerusalem, the temple had probably been completely destroyed in Jerusalem. And Jesus did not come back as quickly as they had yearned. And it was becoming a time of despair. In the words of Mark, they heard confirmation that yes, their world was filled with despair, but it would not be the end, it would not be the last word. The Son of Man would come again. The summer was near. The angels would greet all the elect out of the chaos. It, for them, was a word of hope. It reminded them they still had work to do in the confusion and the brokenness, even the brokenness of their own dreams, that they had the work of God to do each and every day. See, apocalyptic writing tends to speak to a people who are marginalized, a people who are oppressed, people at the end of their rope, people who are utterly down on their luck and yearn for divine deliverance because there is nothing else for them. A pastor friend of mine was working on this passage, and she said, "I'm uncomfortable with this. This come now and wipe everything out, because I want that gentle kind of kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is here, but not fully lived out." And her administrator, who was a wise woman, said to her, "Well, I wonder if this passage makes you a bit uncomfortable and not want to do, because you've always had everything you need. You've always had enough. You've never really been on the edges. You don't know what real frustration is like." The admin said, "You don't understand really the ultimate frustration and despair that communities have felt around Ferguson and around the U.S. when the grand jury did not move forward to trial." And she pondered that, and she thought, that's probably true. When you watch when one of the young men in your community lays dead on the ground for 4 hours and no one attends to his body, when you raise your children, no matter how nice they have their manners, if they wear a hood in the Bayview, know that the cops are going to stop them. If you hear that there is a death in a community and you think, oh my God, it's someone I know. Or if you read a story of once again where two children, one accidentally shoots the other because they didn't know that weapon wasn't a toy, then you don't know about desperation. Maybe this is the kind of passage we really do need to read today. When I got here 8 years ago in the church, I may have said, "Oh, this is the kind of passage that makes mainline Protestants uncomfortable." But you know, the ensuing years around here have been tough in our community. I know I hear about this economic upturn, but you know, I haven't seen any of it. It doesn't seem to be affecting you all, and if it is, you give me some gifts and I'll tell you where you can put them. But friends, we know despair in our city, in our nation, and in our world. And these are words to a people who are distressed, to a people that say, where is justice and where is God? Maybe these passages wake us up to the pain of the other and our need to be involved in that to help take away the crisis. Or if we can't take it away, that we do not ignore it, and we do not have to say it isn't true because it is not our experience. Maybe this year we will hear that these words weren't frightening as much as they were hope-giving. Hope that the future ultimately has to be in God's hands, even if our lives feel like they're falling apart. The call is to stay awake, to be alert, to be strong. And we're given the image that the master has gone away on a trip and says, you're in charge now. Do your work, use your gifts, have someone watching to make sure it happens, act like the master of the house is here all the time. Live like Jesus is in the house right now. Don't wait for some special time to start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Do it now. Because the odd truth about human nature is we tend to get a little bit better, get our work together when we have a deadline coming. There's something about pressure. You know, if you've got a test, you kind of start paying attention in class. If you know there's something where you're watching, you start getting on your best behavior. I mean, don't you know that? You got a birthday coming up when you were a kid? Ooh, didn't you start acting good for about 2 weeks beforehand? Because there could be a correlation between behavior and gifts. Maybe you did that with that good old Santa Claus. And maybe if you know your work's going to be reviewed, you start doing a little bit better. If someone's coming at your table, you're going to ask a little bit nicer to your spouse than you may have otherwise. You know, we don't have to wait for a deadline or some pressure to do our best work, to be our compassionate self. You're supposed to do it in everyday living. Act as though the master is in the house. Mary Anderson plays with this concept, and I think I've talked about this before. She says, if you know your end is near, how does it change your behavior? She talked about how those among us who are very kind of maybe elderly or ill often are kind of frank about the end of our lives, get things in order. For those of us who aren't ill or at the end of our lives or got some pressure, we kind of just live. But what if we had to prepare for the end? If you knew you only had a month or two to live, would you finish up important matters at work? Would you travel to places you'd always wanted to go? Would you pray more? Would you go to church more? Would you act generous with people? Would you find a way to leave your mark on the world? Would you reconcile fractured friendships and relationships? If you answer in your mind yes to one of these possibilities, we indicate that our last days, that we would be better stewards of all things God has given us in life, better than we are now. In the intensity of last days, we would live life better and be better. We would be more generous. We would focus on the things that are important. The question is, do we have to be under the threat of death to be better stewards of what God has given us? The passage is saying, act like Jesus is already in the house. I've asked you once before to imagine if the city or someone with even more power, I don't know who that is, came and said, you can no longer use your building. In 1 month, it will not be yours. Well, let's give us 3 months. 3 months, you have to be out of this building. You cannot have it. The church will be closed. And what would our members do? If we only had one precious Sunday to worship, I bet we'd get everyone here. I bet the people on the inactive list, maybe some folks would even fly in from far away. I think we'd get together for worship. I wonder if our members would say, okay, here's our gifts, here's our talents. What churches, what ministries need us in the city, and we'd send them out. Like, Mary, maybe I'm going to send you out to Mission Bay. Or, I don't know, maybe Bob and Dan, I think you need to be at Covenant Church. I'd send you out. Would we do that? Would we figure out how could our people be a blessing in the community, and how could we say it's not about the building, it's about living Christ's love out? I wonder if we would think, what are we going to do with our assets? Provided God and the Presbyterian Church led us, what would we do with our savings accounts and our endowments and this property and, I don't know, the communion table? Would we figure there's a church that needs these fabulous things? Let's give them away. Let's take the stained glass window and sell it to someone. Let's give away some of the others. Would you care about this community and the worldwide? And what would we do with our money? Oh, Lord, we wouldn't have time to fight about it. We couldn't even form a project team. Oh, no. Maybe we'd start a new ministry where one never existed. Maybe we'd find out a need and help them in that community address it. Maybe we'd endow scholarships. Maybe we'd endow some kind of group to talk about and work about violence. Maybe we'd build a youth center. Maybe we'd give our money to Edgewood for families. I don't know. What would we use to make God's love real in the presence if we only had 3 months left? Well, it isn't a what-if question. The passage to keep awake and being alert now says you're supposed to use your money and your life like that now. Where is the need in this community and how do we address it? How do we be alert for where God might be using us? Whew. Wake up. Live like that now. We're called to have the courage to trust that God is in our future. And to begin living in a way that reflects that trust, knowing that God is with us now. And we're given ways to do that, that devotional. There's ways that you can get prayers on the internet. I'm sure there's an Advent app, but I didn't have enough time to figure it out. Live your lives intentionally. It's the new year. Jesus is in the house right now. So stay awake, be alert, be prepared, for God is with us. Thanks be. Amen.